Grace to you and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation this morning comes from our Old Testament lesson from Genesis chapter 3. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. This is our text. My dear friends in Jesus Christ, our living Lord and Savior, do you have any idea how appropriate it is that on this first Sunday in Lent, we take a look at Genesis 3 and Adam and Eve's fall into sin? I mean, it takes us all the way back to the very beginning and shows us how we got here. Genesis literally means beginning. And unfortunately, one of the major beginnings that we see in Genesis is the beginning of sin. Because of their one act of doubting God's word and from eating from that tree of knowledge of good and evil, we are here in God's house today asking him for forgiveness. If Adam and Eve don't eat from that tree, then we are still perfectly in the image of God, and Jesus doesn't have to die on the cross. The world would be a completely different place than it is today. No mass murders like we saw at Miller Valley earlier this week. No sickness. Walks with God in the cool of the evening like we see in our text for today. Perfect harmony between every one of us, and perfect harmony between us and God. That's what life was intended to be like. But Adam and Eve did sin. They were tempted by Satan, and that liar won, at least temporarily. You know, God could have done something different by not putting the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the garden. But without a chance to disobey God, Adam and Eve would have just been these robot-like people programmed to obey God's every command. I said last week that 1 John tells us that God is love. He created us because of his love for us. And God simply wanted to know that we loved him back in return. And so the only way he could do that, he could know that we would be, was for him to give us an opportunity to disobey him and doubt him. And so God puts the tree of life in the garden. And its fruit looks beautiful. But God also puts the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the garden. Some commentators say it was possibly right next to the tree of life, and its fruit also looks equally appetizing. But God's instructions are very clear. In Genesis chapter 2:16, he says, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." And again, Satan, that master of lies, puts a hint of doubt into Eve's mind as he says, "You will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." See, he's lying there. Maybe they won't die physically, but they will die spiritually. They'll be separated from God. And one asks the question, why would you want to know evil? Adam and Eve have been perfectly content living in the garden, knowing nothing but good, living in perfect harmony with each other and with God. Why would they want to know evil? Well, we're given insight into that when we read in Genesis 3. So that the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was a delight to the eyes, and the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. Basically, Eve wanted to be like God. And the deed is done. Adam and Eve's eyes are open and they realize that they are naked. And they hear God walking in the garden in the cool of the evening. And rather than running to him to greet with him and to walk with him, they hide because they are afraid that they're naked. And from that point on, the world will never be the same. Sin will run rampant in the world. Hate, murder, and disease will infect the whole entire world. And there is only one cure, one solution for the problem of sin. God would have to send his one and only Son to die on the cross to pay for the sins of the entire world. So Adam and Eve are the first people to be tempted by the devil. And through the years, every other person born under the sun would also be tempted and would fall into sin. That's the way it was for thousands of years until Jesus arrives on the scene. Jesus is born of Mary and of the Holy Spirit. He is 100% God and 100% man. And because he is both, he has the ability to resist temptation. And that's what we see in our gospel lesson for today. Jesus is baptized before he begins his public ministry. And immediately after he is baptized, he is purposely led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness for the express purpose to be tempted by Satan, that master of lies. But this time, the result is different. Even after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus resists the temptation by the devil. What's the difference? God's word is the difference. Every single time Satan tempts Jesus, Jesus is ready with God's word as to why he is not simply going to give in to temptation. When told to turn stones into bread so that he can eat, Jesus says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." And there, right there, you know that Jesus is going to be successful because he is leaning on God's word. When told to throw himself off the top of the temple, even with Satan quoting the Bible, saying that the angels will care for him, Jesus replies, "Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And then Satan pulls out the big lie. He takes Jesus to the very top of a high mountain and so shows Jesus all the lands of the world. And Satan says, "All of these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." You see the problem there? The problem is that those kingdoms were not Satan's to give. They belong to the one who created them. And who would that be? Jesus, the person that Satan is tempting. And so Jesus sticks to his guns and says, "Be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Obviously, the lesson in our text for today is for us to be like Jesus and not to be like Adam and Eve. As Christians, especially during this important and meaningful Lenten season, it is very important for us to be in the Word of God. And that's why we mailed out to every family at Trinity and at our school and even over at Lutheran High, we gave out those devotionals, the Eyes on Jesus, because we want you to be in God's Word. We need to be in prayer. We need to be in communication with our God as often as possible. And as I said, God, our God, is a God of prayer. He wants to be in close relationship with us. And we can only do that through the gifts that he gives to us. God knows that we grow closer to him through prayer. We grow closer to God by being in his Word. We grow closer to God by being in worship. We grow closer to God by being baptized. We grow closer to God by receiving the Lord's Supper often. All of these things are things that we can use to strengthen our faith and avoid sin. Adam and Eve, on the other hand, ignored God's Word. They didn't believe his Word that they would die. They trusted Satan rather than God, who created them. Well, since we have God's Word, we know who the bad guy is, and we know what an amazing God we have. There is just such a contrast between the way Adam and Eve handled the situation and the way Jesus handled the situation. The truth of the matter is, unfortunately, we can't avoid temptation. And temptation itself, in itself, isn't bad. We are always going to be tempted. It's when we give into temptation that we're moving to the dark side. And so when we are tempted, be like Jesus. Stick to God's Word. Drop to your knees in prayer. Focus on what you learned in Sunday school and in confirmation. Pull out your catechism, dust it off, and read through it. Better yet, pull out your Bible and read that. All of these things are helpful for us so that we can be more like Jesus and less like Adam and Eve. And it just happens that rather than giving up something for Lent, it is much better to be more involved in being in God's Word during this season of Lent, to be more involved in praying to our Lord, to growing closer to him during this humble time of year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.